Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, September 4th, 2014. Now, it's hard to believe that after decades of looking at Vietnam, what we've learned about that, what we've learned about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, that we would not only learn nothing from those experiences, from those revelations, that we would repeat them today, and not only repeat them, but times four. Look at this headline from the story on InfoWars.com, U.S. boots in Iraq, in the Baltics, in Syria, and troops in the Ukraine. Yes, it's been a busy week for U.S. military planners. They point out as the NATO summit in Wales is kicking off today with an expected agreement to create a spearhead force of up to 5,000 troops to rapidly deploy to any, quote, hotspot in Eastern Europe, we find that these exercises, now called Rapid Trident, are said to be a sign of the commitment of NATO states to support non-NATO member Ukraine. And, of course, in many other places, they're also anxious to go to war. We have a Democrat senator from Florida, Senator Bill Nelson, is pushing legislation to authorize the use of military force, but the Obama administration says, that's all right, we don't really need it. Remember we had that conversation before with Defense Secretary Leon Panetta when he was quizzed by Senator Sessions, and Senator Sessions couldn't believe that he would say, you don't need to, we would talk to our NATO allies, we would talk to the UN, but Congress, I'd probably not. We might inform you of what we're going to do. As the writer Daniel McAdams of the Ron Paul Institute points out, he says the peace president is clearly on war footing. U.S. bombs are also going off in Africa and in Pakistan, and no one at home is now talking about NSA spying. NATO has a new mission. Well, let's hope that the new mission does not blow up in their faces, this exercise right at the Russian border, doesn't blow up in their faces like their sanctions have. Look at this article from the New American. Sanctions boomerang and threaten the U.S. supply of Russian rocket engines. Well, why would we need Russian rocket engines? Well, that's for our spy satellites. They point out that in response to sanctions from Obama in March and then escalating those in July, the Russian deputy minister has threatened to cut off all supplies of RD-180 rocket engines to the United States. And listen to this quote here. It's noteworthy that even though a group of schoolchildren probably could have forecast the consequences of making Russia our supplier of these critical rocket engines, all the wisdom of the U.S. government missed it. And one of those aware of the decision to deal exclusively with Russia for the U.S. supply of engines was Michael Hayden during his stint as director of the NSA from 1999 to 2005. Now, Hayden is now putting himself out as a very highly paid consultant. You know, for a few $100,000, he can come in and give you some inside information. He might even tell you how to fix your security. But this is what he had to say about those times. He says, well, what were we thinking? It's clear now that relying on Russia for rocket engines was a policy based on hope and not good judgment. Well, actually, our policies today are based on hubris. When we outsource even our military equipment, even the NSA's equipment is outsourced to Russia, to China, we have no way to enforce these kinds of sanctions or this kind of aggressive foreign policy that we're now engaged in. But talk about bad judgment. We have the former senator of Massachusetts, Senator Brown, who's now running for senator in New Hampshire. This is the senator who posed for a centerfold, if you remember. Maybe we should call him Senator Fold. Well, he's got a great idea. He's trying to piggyback on all this unrest about ISIS, and he thinks that the way we could fix this is by revoking the citizenship of people that the government accuses of terrorism. And even better, we can have Obama do it by executive order. Here's that report.
Former senator, model, and centerfold Scott Brown now wants to strip you of your rights and due process. Former Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown is now running for senator in New Hampshire, but he sounds like he's auditioning to become a prostitute for the military-industrial complex.
Right now, we have a situation with ISIS.
Scott Brown actually says he's worried about U.S. citizens working with foreign terrorists coming home, marching down Pennsylvania Avenue, and planting their flag at the White House. His common sense solution is to take away their citizenship to keep them from returning to the U.S. Seriously, how stupid does Brown think New Hampshire voters are? Millions of people are coming at will through our open borders without permission. The feds are even telling us to expect terrorists to come across the border, and there's nothing that they can or will do about it. So why would a terrorist be stopped by not having permission to come in? Scott Brown voted for the NDAA's indefinite detention without trial, and he now says that it's common sense that anyone accused by the government of terrorism would have their rights as citizens stripped without trial. He offered two bills to do just that. Both were rejected. But just like Obama, Brown doesn't want the legislative process or the Constitution to get in the way of the militarized police state. Just use executive orders. Al-Qaeda and ISIS were created, trained, and equipped by the federal government. People like Obama and Brown want to make it as easy and as expedient as possible to punish, to imprison, to kill anyone they declare a terrorist. This is what tyrants have always done. The whole point of the Bill of Rights was to constrain government from taking away our due process. They want to be able to hold you without a conviction, without a trial. And if it sounds draconian to do that to citizens, then just revoke their citizenship first. Political prostitutes like Scott Brown use Islamic terrorists to sell fear to the American public so that they give up their rights and liberties and buy war machines from the military and police state industrial complex. Homeland Security has made it abundantly clear that it's more worried about domestic terrorists than foreign terrorists. And look at who they're defining as terrorists. Veterans, Tea Partiers, anti-Fed activists, Christians, homeschoolers. Americans are the enemy in their war games. They train to fight Americans in mock American cities. The Patriot Act, which Brown voted to reauthorize, has always had the goal to destroy due process, to come after dissidents and political opponents at home by labeling them as terrorists. Brown's demagoguery is just the latest example. If you're going to revoke the citizenship of people who are working with terrorists, then why not revoke the citizenship of the CIA or the military advisors who train and equip terrorist groups like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda? Why not revoke the citizenship of Senator McCain, who met with Islamic terrorists and who met with Nazi terrorists in Ukraine?
Meeting in the White House over 2 years ago, everyone in the national security team recommended arming ISIS.
You agree that we have recent experience where until we understood how the country would continue to govern and that institutions of governance wouldn't fail, that actually situations can be made worse by the introduction of military force?
Actually, General Dempsey, you and I went through this in 2006.
Maybe we could keep political whores like Scott Brown out of the Senate.
Well, it's not just people like Scott Brown who are trying to use to their advantage the unrest in the Middle East. We have an article on Infowars.com that really underscores the absurdity of our involvement over there. The fiction of, quote, fighting the Islamic State, unquote. An entity created and financed by the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. And he points out that the U.S. is taking advantage of the incontestable threat posed by the brutal, quote, IS combatants in order to polish their damaged image in the Middle East and simultaneously try to underline that their further military presence in the region is indispensable. That's right. They need to have us there, don't they? We are the ones who have to solve all of these problems, no matter how bad they are. And yet he points out that we actually created them. He says, at the same time, the virtual inventor of the IS is none other than former U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Now, he's pointing this out as saying that it was her policy of separating these different areas and moving the Sunnis against the Shiites, that was essentially a policy that created IS. I think the direct involvement of the U.S. via the CIA and many other instances has been documented. It's been spoken about by former CIA members, by former Al-Qaeda members. We've talked about this at InfoWars quite a bit. So, yes, there are policies that you can point to that were open and above board, which created this. But there are also covert policies that directly created IS. Now, he also points out that Secretary of the Saudi National Security Council at the same time, the infamous, he points out, Prince Bandar bin Sultan, set to work after Condoleezza Rice set these policies in place. The results were the birth of brutal groups like al-Nusra Front and the ISIS, which sprang up like mushrooms to fight the Assad regime in Syria. Now, of course, Prince Bandar had very heavy ties to the CIA, to the Bush family. He bragged about how he, the Saudis, and the CIA had essentially created the Mujahideen and Osama bin Laden. So this is something that we see happening. That's a long-time policy. And, of course, they were created to fight the Russians. And that's one of the four conflicts that we're trying to get involved in right now. But there's a meeting, as we said earlier in the show, going on starting right now in Wales with NATO. And they're not really putting forward a veneer of somebody who's really striking out for freedom, as we're being told that they're doing in the Ukraine. Look at the heavy-handed approach that they are taking towards journalists who are just merely trying to film what a police state, what an open-air prison, as they call it, looks like in Wales around this secure meeting. Now, this is a journalist who is working for RT, and as you can see on the screen right now, this is some of the B-roll that he and others were shooting. He was arrested. He was DNA swabbed. He was held in a prison cell for taking photographs of police security barriers on public streets in Cardiff, Wales, as the lockdown surrounding the NATO summit in Wales resembles what Paul Watson points out, as some called it, an open-air prison. Now, one of the officers threatened him with being detained for 3 months without charge or trial. And he explained that he was taking the photos in the middle of the night at 4 a.m. in the morning because the streets were empty and he didn't want to capture people in the images. Now, he points out that they had made numerous checks, numerous threats to him. Eventually, what they arrested him for was the charge of suspicion of a stolen driver's license. And he said, it's amazing because all of my other ID there, a debit card, a library card, a student card, all in the same wallet, had the same name. Not very likely that he had just stolen the wallet. Well, stay with us. After the break, we have a couple of stories. Workers are fighting for minimum wage increase, but they don't see the real threat from the rise of the robots. And the net is leaking like a sieve. We're going to look at how thieves got those photos from the celebrities. Stay with us.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High-quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. Now, you've probably heard that today there have been a lot of demonstrations, people wanting to get the minimum wage increased to $15 an hour. And, of course, Obama and the SEIU are pushing that politically for their advantage. But as Kurt Nimmo points out in an article today on InfoWars.com, the fight for the minimum wage of $15 is a fight for compulsory unemployment. Now, he says that the protesters, of course, their campaign is called Fight for 15. It is organized by the Service Employees International Union, that's SEIU. They have very close ties to Obama and the Democrat Party. He points out, though, that there's going to be a huge unemployment effect from this. The restaurant industry is a low-profit venture despite record profits of parent corporations like McDonald's. And he says Capital IQ reports that the average profit margin for fast food franchises is only 2.4%. That's down from 3.2% 5 years ago. Now, of course, as we've pointed out many times and many economists have pointed out, trying to bring prosperity to workers by increasing the minimum wage is an exercise in futility because it sets off a wave of inflation and nobody is any better off relatively than they were before, except we just have inflation, which really arguably hurts everyone. But beyond that, there is now a new threat to these workers that they don't even see on the horizon, and that is the rise of the robots, especially in these low-level fast food positions. An article from Business Insider today says, here's the burger-flipping robot that could put fast food workers out of a job. And, of course, we've reported on this before. This is a company called Momentum Machines. They've got a robot that they say will radically change the fast food industry and have some line cooks looking for new jobs. It can produce 360 hamburgers per hour. They say that it's more consistent, more sanitary than human workers. It also can produce custom meat grinds for every single customer. Now, the company's founder said that the device isn't meant to make employees more efficient. It's meant to completely obviate them. That's right. He makes no bones about it. But then he goes in and he makes some points. He said, even though we're going to put the people who are actually preparing the burgers out of a job, here's why it's not a bad thing in the overall employment. Now, he gives us three different arguments. I want to just go over two of those here. He says, one, the restaurant that uses our robots can expand their frontiers of production, which requires hiring more people. Well, the question is, though, how many store managers or robot managers do you need in a store? And what are these cooks going to do when they go on welfare? Ah, but look at the second one he puts here. The general public is going to save money on the reduced cost of our burgers, and this saved money can then be spent on the rest of the economy. Okay, but without jobs, who's going to be doing the consuming? Are the people that are going to be unemployed with this, are they going to be going onto welfare? That's going to raise your taxes paying for the welfare. So there goes your disposable income. It is actually dispensable, isn't it? Well, we're also seeing some fallout from the iCloud being hacked on Apple computer. We see that yesterday Wall Street had ended mixed. Today it's up, but yesterday Apple stock took a beating. Apple shares slid 4.2% down to 98.94, and their worst percentage decline since January the 28th. And, of course, that's due to what happened with the iCloud leak. Now, undeterred by that, Apple is talking about their next big thing, the Apple Watch. And one of the things that they're really pushing on this is going to be mobile payments. That's right. If you can't trust them with your photos, can you trust them with all your financial information, with all your credit card information? Absolutely absurd. And yet, people will buy it. We've seen how the NSA themselves bragged about the fact that people would buy Big Brother, that the iPhone was the Big Brother, pointing out the irony that that came from Steve Jobs, whose iconic Mac commercial in 1984 was all about Big Brother, said, who would have thought that would be Big Brother? And then they show the iPhone, and then they say, and that the people would pay for it. Well, of course, we're going to pay to have our data stolen as well, because everybody is now moving to do near-field communications in these watches. That's what Apple is going to do now. And stay with us at the end of the news. We're going to have a vintage video of Alex Jones destroying an iPad when they first came out. Remember the feeding frenzy? Well, the next big thing is, of course, this Apple's smartwatch. And as they're saying, they're going to include short-range wireless technology. And according to people familiar with it, they say that it signals a new role for the device in digital payments. Now, this is NFC wireless or near-field communications. They say it's central to Apple's plans to offer so-called tap-to-pay into its mobile devices, allowing users to pay for goods and services just using credit cards stored on iTunes. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong with that? Just another place where people can steal your data. And, of course, we've seen that there's been a massive hack now of Home Depot's data, of their customers' data, even larger than Target's hack just a few months ago. They're saying Home Depot may be the latest retailer to have suffered a massive credit card breach, with the company moving to assuage consumer fear after a large cache of stolen data reportedly appeared on black market sites. The breach may have extended as far back as to spring of this year. And if it does, the fallout may end up being far larger than Target's incident late last year when personal data pertaining to tens of millions of customers was compromised. Well, exactly how did they get the data, the celebrity photos, off of iCloud? There's an article up on Wired magazine today, the police tool that pervs use to steal nude pics from Apple's iCloud. That's right, the pervs use it, it's a bad thing, but if the police use it, it's just fine. It doesn't matter that they're perverting the Constitution or the rule of law. These are things that were designed really just for the police to use. So it's horrible that these hackers got it. But look where they got it from. They actually got this from a Moscow-based forensics company called Elcomsoft. And they say, of course, it was intended for use by government agency customers. Yeah, they're the only ones that we can really trust to steal everything from everybody. They point out one step in the hacker's sext-stealing playbook has been ignored, and that is this piece of software that was designed to let cops and spies siphon data from iPhones. But instead, it's being used by perv criminals themselves. That's right. Cops and spies are just fine if they want to spy on you. So what they say is if they can hack your iCloud username and password using iBrute, they can just log into your iCloud account and steal your photos. But they said that if they go in and impersonate the user's device with this piece of software that the Russians are selling to the police and to the spies, they can basically download your entire phone, your entire iPad, everything, and take their time to pick it apart. That's what the cops do. That's what the NSA does to your data. Well, that's it for the news. Stay with us right after the break. Jakari Jackson is going to have an interview with an industry insider who's going to give you the lowdown on those mystery cell phone towers. And Alex Jones is going to take a look at the idols of popular culture. And we're going to have that vintage video of him taking apart and destroying an iPad. Stay with us.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. And now you can protect yourself from corrupt cops with the InfoWars dash cam. It's your car's black box that records all that the driver sees and hears. And introducing the Block It Pocket. It renders your phone undetectable while protecting your private data and your health. Or take back your privacy and protect your personal information by getting your very own detractor cell phone pouch. So get incredibly high quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
With the recent celebrity hacking scandal, more emphasis is being placed on the security of your mobile device. As you recall, last year, InfoWars brought you the reports about how the Seattle Police Department was being forced to shut down their Wi-Fi spy grid after a privacy outcry. Now, as technology advances, it's becoming easier to detect these interceptor stations, these places where these guys can siphon off your cell phone data. But we don't always know who's behind them. To speak more about this, we have Buzz Bruner, the director of ESD Applications. Thank you for joining us, Buzz.
Yes, sir.
Now, tell us a little bit about your company, about your organization, and also how you guys came to discover these interceptor towers.
Okay. ESD America is an 11-year-old company that is the world's largest manufacturer of secure cellular phones. We build the phones in America that have the highest level of security, but also what they do is they have the ability to detect when your cell signal is being diverted to an interceptor tower prior to going to a network tower, which is what we have now been able to put the map up and show where a few of these mobile towers are.
And how did you guys come across these?
Well, what we did is we asked our CP500 cryptophone owners. We asked them that whenever they are alerted, the phone will alert you if your signal is being diverted to a non-network tower, which is an interceptor device. Mm-hmm. We asked them to notice the location where they are and let us know the time and date when they saw this notice, which is what has created the ability for us to put this awareness in place. The device itself actually has the ability, as I said, to detect when a cell phone signal, which normally would go to one of the closest network tower, is forced down to 2G and goes to a non-network tower before, as I said, being bounced to a network tower. There's where the interception takes place. Please understand, too, that towers are not 150-foot high steel structures. An interceptor tower is virtually the size of a briefcase, and they are all mobile. They are extremely sophisticated devices, but they are also now nominally easily available for people who want to have the ability to intercept cell calls.
So you say they're very portable, and also, you know, I guess consumer level, I guess, in a sense. How would somebody get an interceptor box? You know, where are these things coming from?
Well, if you know some people, and we don't tell people where they can get them. There's software there's open source software that's available on the market. Actually, I've seen them on Alibaba websites to buy them from, certain Asian countries.
We don't want to go into any specifics. I'm just wondering, you know, where would somebody, you know, how are these things getting out on the streets? You know, who's behind this? Have you guys been able to track down any particular person or group who's behind these boxes?
Well, no. We have the ability to detect that the signals are being diverted to non-network towers, okay? You know, the people that divert these signals range from government, law enforcement, which are the good guys trying to listen to the bad guys to protect us. And also they range from the bad guys trying to listen to the good guys, which are bad guys that are trying to intercept industrial or corporate high-value information, you know, for their economic gains or advantages. Mm-hmm. So there are people that, will go to virtual any link to steal high-value information. And then there's governments around the world also that are looking to have a lot of information from a lot of different sources that they utilize in their global situations.
Right. Now, as far as, you know, you said that being used by governments, law enforcement, there's a CBS article where they talked to a former FBI agent, and he said that he doubted that some of the more recent interceptor boxes maybe that you guys discovered, he doubted that those were being used by law enforcement because he said law enforcement needed proper warrants and had to go through the proper channels and all that. Would you agree with that statement, or do you have some other point of view?
No, I would agree with that. You know, law enforcement, you know, government law enforcement are, you know, required to, you know, have warrants to use the boxes. And they may have, at those particular locations, had certain warrants. It may have been, law enforcement. But it also may have been bad guys looking to access information from, you know, corporate information. Corporate espionage is so prevalent, it's incredible that, corporate enterprises spend millions of dollars to protect their IT systems and make sure that their online communications are secure. Mm-hmm. And then they just get on unsecure cell phones and talk about high-value information that they secure online.
Right.
And bad guys take the path of least resistance. They know that the Internet systems are being highly protected, and intercepting cell calls is very easy. It's basically done with impunity. I can be a half a mile away from a gentleman on a, you know, that's talking on a cell phone. I can be gathering his information, and he would never know that I was, in that particular capability.
Now, as far as the information gathered, what can they get? Can they get real-time phone conversations, pictures, text messages? What all can they retrieve?
Well, basically, they can the voice communications is what they is what the average interceptor would do. He'd listen for voice information, just like you play, just like you're putting a bug in a conference room.
Mm-hmm.
The more sophisticated towers and the more sophisticated software can actually, when it fools your phone into thinking that it is the real cell tower, they have the ability on occasion to download programs and change the firmware of your cell phone and actually put malicious spyware on your cell phone, and you would never know it. They'd actually take control of the phone. They can actually turn on your microphone, without you knowing it. They can do a lot of different things by controlling the little computer that you have in your hand that you use to talk on.
And you made a very interesting statement, because a lot of people think it's a conspiracy theory, so to speak, think if somebody can hack into your phone and, just as you said, turn on your microphone and listen to what you're saying. But you're saying that that is, in fact, factual and happening?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The only real, truly secure way to secure your phone, like if you're in a conference room and you're in a meeting, is for everybody to remove the batteries from their phones. Mm-hmm. Turning your phone off does not turn your phone off. On off buttons are just soft switches. They're not hard switches. The only way to truly secure your phone is to take the battery out of it.
Right. Now, I was reading some comments, reading the interview with your CEO, Goldsmith, and he was talking about how some of these things were discovered around military bases. And that was very troubling to me.
Well, yes, and we're not sure exactly who was the owner or who was operating that particular tower. We do know that we have countries around this globe that are not so friendly to America.
Right.
There are a lot of operatives from other countries that are in this country specifically to gather information. They do it in multiple ways. They can take a regular laptop here in America. They can get a cell card here in America, and they can get sophisticated software downloaded to them here in America, and they have an instant cellular interceptor.
As we come to our end, I'm sorry to cut you off. We're running a little low on time. Just tell us what else you think is the most important issue concerning this, and also how people can find your technology.
Well, the best thing to remember is if you are speaking of anything that is of high value, is don't say it on a cell phone. Assume that it's being listened to. That's the lifestyle change for security that protects people. Secondly, our CP500, if you take a CP500 and you call another CP500, that information, that voice information, the text information, cannot be cracked. It is world-class technology. That the methodology is amazing. You can reach us at esdcryptophone.com, and you can speak with any of us to discuss the utilization. The biggest part of the CP500 is also the fact that it will detect if your cell signal is being diverted to a non-network tower. That is one of the most powerful things that the CP500 does.
All right, Buzz Bruner, Director of ESD Applications, thank you for your time, sir.
Carter, thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
You too. And if you would like another way to protect your cell phone information, stop by the InfoWars shop and pick up a cell phone pouch, the Blocket Pocket, and others. Protect your cell phone information when you're not using it. Well, that's it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off Super Detox Special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Well, earlier this afternoon, legendary female comedian Joan Rivers went on to meet her maker. And we certainly want to wish her and her family our condolences, and may she rest in peace. I'll say this, though. Joan Rivers liked to make fun of people, and she made fun of folks when they died as well. And every time I see Terry Gilliam's masterpiece, Brazil, I think that it's Joan Rivers in it getting the plastic face. Look, she was all about irreverence, and so hence I make the reanimated corpse point that you've got all these old people that want to escape becoming old and looking old, and they end up looking quite freakish in their quest for it. But I am sad for her, and it's kind of a salute to her that we are roasting her or lampooning her on her funeral pyre. My issue is she was obviously someone that pushed the whole Hollywood line, extremely narcissistic, promoted Obama and the whole establishment view. Some people are going to say that Joan Rivers was killed because she joked around a month ago saying that Obama was gay and that Michelle Obama was a tranny.
You know Michelle is a tranny.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
We joked around about that as well. The mainstream media picked it up as if we were being serious. But I don't think she was killed by the Obama administration by doing that. I think she was killed by risky surgery. She went in for a lot of plastic surgery, was getting the surgery on her vocal cords. And people need to understand, hospitals are very dangerous. Anesthesia is very dangerous. Hospital-borne illnesses now kill hundreds of thousands of people a year in the United States alone. So in all seriousness, I hope from the sad passing of Joan Rivers that we all understand that electable surgery that's not absolutely needed, in my view, is something that should be skipped. I have a hernia. I've had it for 14 years, and I've not gone in to have it operated on because I statistically understand how dangerous it is and understand that my mission is so important, I don't want to take any undue risk. I used to enjoy driving fast on country roads. I don't do it anymore. That's why I'm getting rid of my Charger. There's no point in speeding. There's no point in risking my life for thrill-seeking. I will risk my life to tell the truth and fight tyranny. And while we're all going to focus on Robin Williams dying, and that's connected to psychotropic drugs, as we predicted, and we're going to focus on Joan Rivers, why do we care so much about a celebrity dying, but not about 300-plus thousand Syrians, most of them Christians, killed by ISIS that was funded by our government? And just today, Senator Rand Paul came out and said, Obama and Hillary have turned Syria and the world, Iraq, into a jihadist wonderland. And that's the truth, ladies and gentlemen, that individuals dying are a real tragedy. And I'm sick and tired of individuals and small people and people that aren't famous not mattering and only famous people mattering. So obviously we are using her tragic death today to try to get some good out of it and illustrate some of the real mega tragedies that are going on across this country and the world. Well, that's it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. We will obviously return tomorrow, Lord willing, 11 a.m. Central with a syndicated radio show. But understand, it's allotted to everybody to die by the age of 75, if they're lucky, in the Bible. I mean, most people are allotted to live to 75. You're very blessed if you live past that. So none of us are getting out of this alive. Live for justice. Live for truth. Live for passing on a better world to our progeny. And with that, I sign off and say, bon voyage, Joan Rivers. You're now on the other side. Death is the great unifier. And one day we will all join you.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your super female vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
Robots became so intelligent, they defined themselves as human beings.
Torture! I was always taught torture was wrong, but I'm pro-America, and now that they say torture's good, well, I decided that when in Rome, do as the Romans did. But humans don't care about seeing other humans tortured. We've been dehumanized. They got mad though when the Marines threw that puppy off the cliff, because people still have empathy for animals. I thought, what about an iPad? What is it going to think? People love inanimate objects. They love things. They love possessions. They don't get upset by humans being tortured.
Yes, naughty little boys.
So I thought, what would happen if we tortured an iPad? And that's what we're about to do. Okay, 12-pound sledgehammer. Sure this is working. Just a professional interrogation for America. What we do, the good guys. After all, Joseph Mengele wasn't that bad, was he now, according to our government? Got the electrical power here. And of course, made in the USA waterboarding equipment. We're going to have a discussion with you, Mr. iPad. You understand? And you're going to answer our questions. Al Gore's on your board. And you guys pose as a bunch of egalitarian liberals. But you're made in China by basically slave labor. Well, Mr. iPad, again, I'm going to ask you, why are you made in China? This is going to go on for a long time here. And it's only going to get rougher. Oh, you're going to not respond? Well, that's fine. At the end of our little session with the iPad, I'm going to explain exactly why we're doing this in detail. But overall, it's an important experiment. We've got all these different implements of torture or enhanced interrogation. But I figure we just go ahead and cut right to the chase with the power drill. Again, one of the tools of the CIA. I've told it to explain to us why it's in league with Al Gore, and it will not answer my question. We're going to get really serious right now. We're going to get some answers. Now I'm not even going to ask you questions. This is like in Pakistan when a predator drone drops a bomb on a wedding. Now we're just going to kill your ass, because that's pro-America! Yeah! Come on, yeah! Answer my questions! We're the good guys! We're America! You will answer our questions! Torture is good! I smell China. Literally, you can smell it. Look at that smoke coming out. Let me get you cleaned up for the next round. Well, you're still alive. We've been torturing you for quite a while. Because again, that's the American way. That's freedom. And now we're going to go ahead and put you out of your misery with a firing squad. So let's put your little blindfold on. Let's give you a cigarette. Good. It's time for the firing squad for high treason. No judge, no court, no nothing. Under the Enemy Belligerence Act, now in the U.S. Senate, we're allowed to arrest you as a U.S. citizen. Torture you, kill you, do whatever we want, because that is freedom. Enjoy your cigarette. No trial, no nothing. Under the USA Patriot Act, iPad, you are terminated. Ready, aim, fire. Well, looks like that didn't do it. We have to shoot you a couple more times here. This is going to continue for a while here. I'm doing this because I'm a patriot. I'm going to take your bank accounts because I'm a patriot. I'm going to set up checkpoints because I'm a patriot. Everything I do is because I'm a patriot. And you're an evil iPad. And one more right between the eyes just to get you out of your pain. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how we deal with terrorists. You know, after we torture somebody to death, we got to get rid of the body. We got to dismember it. So even though the iPad's no longer with us, we got to get rid of the evidence.
Ah, the guts. It's almost as funny as one of them dead Iraqi kids.
Seattle turning, get permission to engage. Oh yeah, look at that, right through the windshield.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
Oh, it's their fault for bringing their kids to a battle.
That's right.
Nope, no weapons over there.
It's almost as funny as one of them dead Iraqi kids.
Designed in America, made in China. You have just taken part in a psychological test, a study. There's a lot of different facets to it. Number one, I like Apple. I like the iPad. We have a couple in the office, and I bought one at home. But I've seen people literally worshiping these machines. You know, humans don't care about fellow humans anymore, but they care about inanimate objects. And I said, we ought to do a psychological test to show how people get upset out on the web about watching the video you just saw, but don't care about Iraqi kids in a minivan being murdered in front of everybody. This is the dehumanization. We saw that a year ago when the Marines throw the puppy off the cliff, and it was admitted the Marines had done it, and the Marine Corps admitted they'd done it, and actually kicked them out of the Corps, but people were still living in denial saying, no, the Marines didn't kill that puppy, it's too evil. See, Iraqis are dehumanized, but the puppy, it matters. Well, the puppy matters a hell of a lot more than this iPad did. And over a million Iraqis in the last 7 years have been killed conservatively, and their society was wrecked like this iPad. And so that's one reason I did this. I also wanted to show, and I'll guarantee in the comments below this YouTube video, you'll see it, that people are going to be angry that I did this because they associate it with a living thing. And in the future, computers may become artificially intelligent. Like Isaac Asimov talked about 60 years ago, there'll be laws against doing this to computers. That shows how twisted our worldview has gotten, where we've been trained by the eugenicist environmentalists that human life means nothing. But I do want to add something here. I don't believe in reincarnation, not in animal life, not in human life. But in the case of this iPad, it did not die. Its consciousness, or all of its programs and apps, are downloaded on two computers over there, and we've already bought a replacement. And so literally the data that was in this iPod will repossess and will enter the body of a new iPad. But Iraqi civilization and many other civilizations, the many areas of Serbia, have been reduced to rubble that resembles this pile of junk. Then, of course, there's another facet. Apple claims they're all liberal and trendy and care about humanity, but Al Gore, who wants to put carbon taxes that will reduce world population in place, is on their board. And Apple pushes all of this anti-private property rights, anti-human propaganda. And so I guess it makes sense that they have giant factories with people working for slave wages all over China. Oh yeah, designed in America, made in China. And the people there are being paid so little they can't ever afford to buy an iPad. And so there's also a lot of hypocrisy there. I think technology is great, but it's a double-edged sword. It can be used as a tool for good or for bad. But for those of you out there that were upset by seeing this happen or think it was wasteful, $500, this will probably get a million views in the next year and will educate thousands and thousands of people that watch it who will get what we did here today. And then, of course, there's the subject of torture itself. The Army's own report, the Tagumbu report, admitted they were raping children, torturing people with battery acid, with drills, torturing people's children in front of them. Those are human beings, ladies and gentlemen, and are a trillion times more important than this iPad that the mind of man created. Man is the greatest species on this planet. Man is reaching towards the stars. And we also need to be wary of the future of technology, lest it supplant humanity and be used by a technocratic elite to set up a prison planet. The elite have written many white papers stating that because they have robotics and automation, They don't need a large population anymore. That's why Bill Joy back in 2000 wrote the article, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, and discussed the fact that the elite are seriously considering exterminating the majority of the world population. I know a lot of you went to college and you believe in the people bomb and you believe there's too many people. The problem is you don't understand that you're in the crosshairs of the elite as well. And machines are being used as one of the major tools to control us, to track us, to predict our movements, to predict our very thoughts. And so it's important to keep technology on a very short leash, lest it be used to enslave us. Again, I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. I hope this little presentation has spurred some of you to think. I hope you'll have lively discussions with your friends and coworkers and neighbors about the torture of an iPad. Of all the reasons we did this, number one is to get you thinking out there. Many of you can't form relationships with fellow humans now. You're only forming them with machines. You're losing your humanity. The vocabulary of the average American has shrunk by thousands and thousands of words. And the statistics show it's even getting worse with young people, with teenagers. You go out to a restaurant, you see all the kids around the table texting their friends. I love technology, but I also understand the downsides. And that's why we showed you here. It isn't machines that matter. It's the people that built them. It's this precious species. Rediscover the power of humanity.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.